This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:42, 18 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Beautiful Thursday morning. It'll be a nice Friday, too, tomorrow. And then, unfortunately, some rain comes in on Saturday. But the good thing about that is it gets out of the way by Sunday in time for the postponed truck parades and also the Krubarkus parade that's going to happen in a quarter. And then next week's will be beautiful springtime. If you got some outdoor activities planned, maybe you want to play some golf or take the week off, paint the house, that'd be your time to do it. Plenty of sunshine, highs between 70, say, and 80. So enjoy, because before you know it, it's going to be brutally hot. Alex Hammerstone joins us now, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. How you doing, Alex?
Not bad. It's a great morning here. It was 58 degrees here yesterday, and right now it's 27 and snowing. So we really get all the seasons in a 24-hour period. So
when does it really turn like spring for you all?
It changes every year, really. I mean, we've had plowable snow in May before, you know, a few years ago, but
really?
Last year we had a pretty early spring. Yeah, so it gets pretty nice. April starts to be pretty nice here. Not every year, but usually.
Now, I'm trying to think, when I went to the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame, and then went to Cleveland and toured, it was August, and I don't think it was that terribly hot, is it, in the summertime?
It when I was a kid, it used to get pretty hot, you know, close to triple digits. And some years it does, and some years it doesn't. It's really odd. Sometimes it's humid, sometimes it's not. So we really just kind of play it by ear and are ready for anything around here.
Alex, tell us a little bit. I always tell you, I see you're the Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. Tell us what Trusted Sec is.
So we are an information security consulting company, and we have clients around the world, everything from sole proprietorships to members of the Fortune 50. And we do a lot of things. We help companies stay secure. So we build information security programs. We're probably best known for what's known as ethical hacking or penetration testing, where we have a bunch of people on a team that are paid by companies to break into those companies and then share with the companies, you know, how we did it and how to fix it. But we really do provide a number of services to organizations.
Now, Mr. Hammerstone, you don't have to answer the question if you don't want to, but were you at some point in your life an unethical hacker that switched sides?
Never. And actually, I work on the advisory team here, so I do a lot more of the kind of consulting on business issues and security issues and scams. So.
Just wondering,
yeah,
you never know.
It's interesting because a lot of people want to get into the field, and you know, there certainly are people now that, you know, had let's say checkered pasts. But these days, you know, having any kind of conviction or anything like that really keeps you out of the business.
Let me ask you this, and you didn't come on and talk about this, but since we have a couple of extra minutes, for people that have kids that are trying to find their way through life and trying to find what's next when it comes to the internet and where some job opportunities are, how would one go about becoming an ethical hacker?
So there are a few different ways. You know, schools do teach it now, so there are degree programs, you know, with kind of various outcomes. But a lot of people really are self-taught. So there's a lot of conferences people go to. There are a lot of free tools and tutorials out there people use. And then a number of people, you know, will join, you know, law enforcement or military and kind of learn that way. You know, the founder of our company was in the Marine Corps and did the cybersecurity and pieces like that. So that's where he got his start, kind of after, you know, being kind of a hobbyist when he was younger. Mm-hmm. But really, these days, there are a lot of different ways into security. The other thing for people, if you're listening and are interested in the field, there are the technical pieces, right? A lot of people want to be kind of the hackers. But there's also a lot of the compliance and legislative concerns around security, and those are not going away. Those are only growing. So from a career perspective, I would encourage anyone to look at kind of the governance and compliance parts of security programs as well.
And I don't know if this is a crazy question or not, but I have asked numerous guests this after having lunched with a burgeoning young journalist that's on their way to a career. You know, when you think about, let's say TV, you know, you went from radio to broadcast TV to cable TV to streaming. I'm just wondering what's next. Do you have any idea? You're in the industry. What would be next after streaming? Because it's not going to stop at streaming, is it, when it comes to programming and all?
I think at some point, maybe it's going to be a lot more immersive, right? So those glasses, so maybe everyone's sitting around kind of watching programming on their glasses and it looks like you're in a theater. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, something like that. Maybe, you know, VR really takes off, so virtual reality.
Individualized more than a group experience?
I would think so. Unfortunately, society seems to be moving towards individualized experiences anyway. But I really do think more immersive experiences. And, you know, when you kind of get into kind of the science fiction pieces, you start to look at the things that can actually kind of tap into your body and kind of give you, you know, experiences so you might feel like you're flying or something like that. Maybe that's down the road. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. I still like to watch TV the old-fashioned way, you know, kind of with the family and laugh together. But it does seem like young people really are into these individual experiences.
I always like to think of 10 years down the line, what's it going to be? Let's talk about IRS scams. The IRS released their list of Dirty Dozen. Is there anything new under the sun here, or is it just old scams being repackaged with an IRS label?
A lot of it's pretty similar to what we've seen in the past, right? You know, and they really kind of run from what's most common. So it's things like we all get these text messages constantly, right, telling us we're in trouble with the IRS or we have a big refund or something like that. You know, the IRS doesn't communicate that way. They'll always call you first, right? Your first contact with the IRS is not going to be a text message. And so if you ever get a text message or an email from the IRS out of the blue, you can pretty much ignore that. And then it kind of goes into the scams I think people like to talk about because they seem like movie things, but you might even see, you know, fake tax preparation. Somebody sets up a storefront and, you know, have people come in. And
wait a minute. You're talking about Sting stuff now. Now you're going to be talking about watching TV. Now you're talking about the Sting, the movie back from way back where they set up the phoning betting parlor. That's what you're talking about? A phony tax preparation place? Storefront or
yep,
what?
That's happened. Yep, where people will kind of, you know, claim to do your taxes for you, and you go in there and you give them all your information, and then they don't file anything. They just take your information and it's off to the races.
So that's H&R much more rare. Says H&R Broke instead of H&R Block, right?
Right, something like that. Yeah. But as I said, those are the things that are less likely, but more, I think, people like to talk about because they're fascinating. But, you know, the other thing is really, you know, I've done a number of seminars with kind of banks and, you know, and they're telling their customers, really avoid blue mailboxes, right, whenever you can. So if you have a check or you're mailing your tax return, go inside the post office, you know, put it in the box inside the post office. Because at least around here, it used to be unheard of that people would touch the mail. Mm-hmm. But there have been a number of stories in the past few years where letter carriers have been robbed at gunpoint for their master keys to get into the blue mailboxes. And people have been stealing data that way or stealing information that way right from the mail. So, you know, be careful with your paper, too. Because I think people, we talk a lot about electronic security, but there's huge risks with the amount of information that we have on paper, especially in tax season.
Man, I'm just sitting here stunned because you know, we invited you on to talk about the with TrustedSec and scams and threats with electronic media. And the first two out of your mouth are phony storefronts where it appears to be a tax service, but it's not, or mailing stuff because the mail people are getting held up on the street. My gosh in heaven. Let's take a break. We'll pick it up. When we come back. We will talk about the electronic scams that are going around. And one of the rules I can tell you right now that Alex will agree with is if it sounds too good to be true, it is, and nothing's free. More when we return. If you have any questions or comments about internet scams, security, etc., 504-260-1870. That is the Oakland Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Time now for traffic on WWL. 6:55, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Alex Hammerstone. with Trusted Sec, who is all about internet security. He's the director of advisory solutions. We're talking about IRS scams. Let's talk about some individual ones. We've already addressed online account help from individual online account help from scammers, where the IRS supposedly, again, it's not the IRS, but they're posing as IRS agents, reaching out to you saying, "Hey, Alex, can I help you file your return?"
So these happen all the time. And again, these are kind of the scams that are consistent across the year. It's just they use the taxes or the tax season as kind of their context this time of year. And I think it's another one, you know, again, we never want to blame victims of crime or victims of scams. But we do need to kind of have some common sense and know that, you know, that the IRS is not going to randomly reach out to you on social media, right? There's no situation ever where you're going to be on Facebook or Instagram and the IRS is going to, you know, send you a message saying, "Can we help you with your taxes?" It just does not happen.
And that leads us to, a similar kind of thing, the overstated withholding scam, where that could really get people's attention, where what do? They contact you and say, "Dude, you're withholding too much money. We got to send some of this back to you." Is that the way it works?
Yep. So a lot of these scams will promise money, right? I mean, again, we kind of talk about this, that, you know, scams don't function by promising you, you know, reasonable, you know, 7% returns year over year. They always promise the moon, right? They're always promising, you know, a large amount of money or something that's going to get your attention. And the fact of the matter is the IRS will never reach out to you about your withholding, right? I mean, that's something that you work on with your HR department and your company. So that's just not kind of in their purview that they're going to call you about that. The other thing, again, it's the theme of unsolicited messages, right? I mean, the IRS is just not going to reach out to you, you know, to help you file your taxes or help you save money. There are legitimate organizations, I'm sure, that can kind of help you lower your tax burden. But again, the reputable ones are not going to be sending unsolicited text messages and calls.
What about like charities and trying to say, you know, you still got time? How do these charitable scams work?
So there are a number of different ways that kind of charitable scams work. From simple things that, you know, are technically legal but unethical, right, where you don't notice that you signed up for a recurring payment, you know, when you tried to give money once. You know, other just altogether fake charities, right? It's not an entity that actually exists. And so they'll collect money on behalf of something. You see those quite often with, like, GoFundMes or things like that, when there's kind of a well-known tragedy, either locally or nationally. Or it may be a charity that's legitimate, and this is, you know, but they don't really spend any money doing the thing they claim. So they're collecting money and taking the tax benefits and not actually doing things. So there's a lot of different ways that charities may scam. But keep in mind, if you donate to a fake charity hoping for that tax deduction and it's not, you know, a real charity, you're not getting that deduction.
And they even target tax professionals with some of this stuff, with new client scams and spear phishing. Tell me about that.
They do, and if you think about it, right, what's the saying? I rob banks because that's where the money is, right?
Absolutely.
And so if you think about it, if somebody comes after you or me, you know, they can get our data, right? They can get our W-2 or our information. But if you go to the source, right? But your tax preparer might have the information of 1,000 people. And so if you break into, you know, your account or my account, you get ours. But if you break into the tax preparers, you might get 1,000. It's a lot more payoff for them. And so they'll try to scam or trick, the tax preparers. They'll send them phishing emails with, you know, links to malicious websites, or they'll, you know, ask for additional information or what have you to get into the tax preparer system. And really, it's much more efficient for them to steal all that data at once as opposed to one at a time.